Good morning.
Good morning.
In James chapter 4, starting in verse 13 to the end of the chapter, James says something that may surprise us a little bit. Let me read. Verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. How many of us have ever bragged to somebody about what we're going to do? I'm going to graduate from college and I'm going to do this and I'm going to be that and I'm going to go do this and I'm going to make so much and I'm going to buy so much and I'm going to get stuff. And I think we've all done it. And I suspect we all have done that. I know as I walked in the door, Rusty was mentioning that I was going to hit him between the eyes again. And I said, well, it's going to hit all of us between the eyes, really. I think what James is doing here is smacking some people on the side of the head with a 2x4, people who have forgotten who they are and where they're going and got into worldly thinking again. And for most of us, I don't think it's a matter of abandoning the Lord. I think it's a matter of forgetting. And that when we hear such stern rebukes, we ought to be startled and say, oh, wait a minute. Now, you know, let's do a check on ourselves and make sure we're okay too. Because it doesn't seem so bad. I mean, since when is going into a city to have a certain job or a project to earn money a bad thing? Isn't it a good thing to have a certain amount of ambition? Isn't it a good thing to want to be productive and provide for your family and your children and to want to do things that are worthwhile and earn a profit for things? Well, yeah, it's a good thing. But the bad part of it, what's being complained about here is not the idea that we make plans. It's not the idea that we hope to earn money. It's not the idea that we hope to have a career or be successful. It's the idea that we're declaring independence from God. It's the idea that we have decided unconsciously or consciously that what we do has nothing to do with God. And I get credit for what I do. It's the boastful pride of life that John talks about. It's like, look at what I have done, where I am going, what I have made, the power that I have, the influence that I have, the status that I have, the profit that I have, the bank account that I have, and we act as if we were completely independent of God. And that is what James is chastising us for, chastising these people for. It's not the idea of going out and earning a living. It's not the idea of doing what we need to do to survive. It's not the idea of making plans. It's the idea of walking as if God wasn't there. And that is against what we're supposed to be about, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, really, how are we supposed to be thinking about our lives? From all of what we have looked in the book of James, it fits right in the whole pattern, right? We need to understand that what we have is temporary. The life we have is temporary. The riches we have is temporary. The very life that we have and the plans that we have are temporary, and that we depend upon God. And that is what he's getting at here. He's saying, well, somebody's boasting, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to make a profit. Well, that's all well and good for us to plan, But if you leave God out of the picture, we're in trouble. And that is what he's saying. Do you not know that your life, we do not know what our life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. For some of us, it's not quite so hard to realize that your life is a vapor, because most of the smoke has disappeared and we're on our way out. But for some of us, it still seems like there's an eternity to go. There's a whole future ahead of me, years and years before I go meet the Lord. I have plenty of time to do what I want to do before I can shape up and do what he wants. And it's sort of like he gets put into the back of your mind, in the back of your heart. And I can really be serious about this religion stuff when I really need it. And it doesn't work that way. We don't know when our life will end. We don't know when the doors of opportunity are going to close. And that's just what he's saying right here. Now, we assume that, well, because I'm such and such an age, and the average age a person lives to is into his 80s, therefore I have 30 more years or 10 more years or whatever. And we figure, well, that's how much I've got, and then I can play with that. Well, it's not ours to play with. Our life is a gift from God. Our talents are a gift from God. And what God wants us to do is walk before him humbly, submitting to him. Isn't that it? Acknowledging him in all that we do. It isn't an achievement for us to have a career. It's a gift from God and a stewardship, isn't it? I mean, if I had been born in a different place at a different time, I would not have gone to the colleges I went to. I wouldn't have the education I had. If I were born with an IQ so many points lower, I would be doing something different. If I didn't have all of my limbs, I would be doing something different. Everything I have is the gift of God, and I need to live my life understanding that. And what I've been entrusted with is something that I'm supposed to use for him. And so what do we say? What to say? If the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. If this is what God wants me to do, I hope and I believe this is what God wants me to do, but I'm waiting and I'm expecting for his hand to be in it. And if it's not what he wants me to do, I need to be expecting some kind of course correction, and not be surprised about it, but look for it. And to evaluate the things he wants in the way that he wants me to evaluate them. So that in all of my decisions, in all of my plans, I'll be taking him into account. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? In Proverbs 19:21, it says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." How many of you were ever disappointed in your plans? Everybody here was disappointed in some plans or other, right? Well, why should we boast then about plans that we have for the future, knowing how tenuous all of those other plans have been? We need to make plans, yes, we need to make plans, but take plans with God in mind, giving the credit to him and relying on him for the strength to carry them out, relying on him for the guidance and wisdom to be able to change them, and accept the changes that happen. We don't have a life of independence, although we're independent people, aren't we? We don't want to rely on anybody. We don't want to be told what to do. I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. Isn't that the way we're sort of raised to be? We want to be the independent ones. But yet, the reality is we are God-dependent, aren't we? We are God-dependent. Without him, everything else would be meaningless. Without him, we can't do what we need to do. We can't be what we need to be, and we can't go where we need to go, namely to heaven. Isn't that right? And so when we conduct our lives, we need to be conducting our lives in the presence of God. We ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Our very lives are sustained by Him. Our ability to carry out those plans or not are from Him. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Why do we brag as if it was ours? Tomorrow belongs to God. We ought not to boast about it as if it belongs to us. We ought to act like it belongs to God. We ought to act like our blessings belong to God. This is nothing new. We're told that in the Proverbs. We're told that over and over again in the Scriptures. In Romans chapter 12, it's expressed in a different way. And this is our challenge, really. In Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but think to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And then he goes on and talks about how we're given different gifts and we're to use them for God's glory. Accurate picture of who we are, what God has given us, and a commitment to take those things and offer them to God day by day. That's what we're being challenged to do. That's what James is talking about here. Don't live life like it was yours. It's a stewardship. We are entrusted with our life. We are entrusted with our skills to give to God and to use for His service and to live walking in His presence. Who is approved of God throughout all of history? Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Moses walked with God. David walked with God. We are to walk with God. Not forget that we have a traveling companion. Not to forget that we have somebody that we're accountable to. I forget. I'm assuming everybody else here does too. Maybe I'm the last one to be up here talking about it. But we need to remember. And that's why this is written here. And this is why the challenge, I think, in verse 17 is also here. It says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. It isn't just what we actively do that is against God's word, that's sin. It's what we fail to do also. And what we're being challenged to do is to walk with God humbly, trusting in Him and realizing that we are in His presence and that we are dependent upon Him. Not to live the independent, God-excluded life, but to walk the life that is in God's presence day by day. We are priests offering up our lives as a sacrifice to Him. And when we go to work, and when we are in our families, and when we are going about our day, we're in God's presence serving God. And that's the right thing to do, so let's go ahead and do it. And it doesn't sound holy, holy, religious, religious, but it's the most holy thing we can possibly do, is to walk humbly with our God minute by minute throughout our day. To live prayerfully, to live humbly, dependent upon God, and we will be blessed, and He will steer us, and we will be doing His will. That's what God wants of us. Not to start going astray and start thinking that we are in charge of it all. That's my challenge for this morning, my reminder. I hope you all can do that. It's the target we are to shoot for. It is the path that we are to try to stay on. And let's help one another stay on it, please. If you have any requests, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Thank you, Lord.